Father, we love you and we praise you. This is our desire, Father, to go in further, receive this outpouring, see the fullness of your kingdom come, and your life lived out in us. Teach us, Lord, today, tomorrow, the coming days, how to give our lives over to you, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. Being not conformed to this world, but being transformed by the continual renewing of our minds, that we may prove what is that good, acceptable, perfect will of God. We love you, Jesus. We give ourselves to you. We praise and exalt you, Jesus. You alone are worthy. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Got a number of passages, but let's turn to Matthew chapter 22, verse 34 through 40 to start with. We want to talk about exercising ourselves, and I'm not talking about physical exercise. I'm talking about doing the calisthenics of the Spirit, going into the things of the Spirit and working the works of God towards where we're going in this outpouring. We want to look at the first and greatest of all commandments and move towards that. Move towards that on a continual basis and realize who we are and realize that we do have the potential in the new nature, besides for that being filled with the Holy Ghost, coupled with the Word of God, to move towards something that He's created us to be in this outpouring. And not just the outpouring itself. Homer and I were talking the other day, and we were talking about where we're at in this. And I said, you know, when I seek Him on a daily basis and go before Him, you know, I know that we have a mandate, and we've all joined together for the purpose of the revival. But my first and foremost thought on seeking Him, going into Him, is not the outpouring or revival. It's to know Him. It's to be filled with Him and to be filled with His likes, His dislikes, His want-tos, His not want-tos, and exemplify His love, and more than anything else is to have His anointing and to walk in His love. That is really the greatest desire of my heart. Jesus spoke these words when they came to Him. The Pharisees had heard that He had put the Sadducees to silence, and they gathered together, it says in verse 34. Matthew 22, 34 and 35 says, "And one of them, which was a lawyer, asked Him a question, tempting Him and saying, 'Master, what is the great commandment of the law?' Well, he was doing it in pretense. He wasn't really interested in knowing the truth so much. But Jesus said unto him, 'Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind.'" And the other gospels say, "and with all thy strength." "And this is the first and great commandment. And the second is likened to it," Jesus added, "and said, 'Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself.' On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." If we can come to the place in this church or in our lives where we walk, Jesus was saying this: all of the law, all the prophets, and all, in essence, righteousness, right living before God and good conscience hinges on this: loving Him. Because if you love Him, you're not going to walk in darkness. If you love Him, you're not going to do any evil to your neighbor. You're not going to allow your heart, your thoughts, your mind to go there and dwell in that place. You know, Pastor Dave used to talk about, it's easy to walk in love if that's what you are. If that's what you are, if you're in a constraint mode, in a place where you're straining, like Sarah said, that's one place, and you're constraining to do what is right. But on this walk, we're learning this, that there's a place where you submit. right? You begin to submit. And the ease of everything that he is becomes who you are and who you've already created to be. The reason why you can do this is because that's who you are. That's who you've been created to be. But there's an exercising in this sense of the word. There are things that are innate that are instantaneously put in you, and that's who they are in maturity. And then there's a part of you that can actually grow as you exercise spiritually. From that place that is already perfect in nature, and that place that is perfect in righteousness and true holiness, then we understand this. We have, if we weren't starting from an advantage, we would have no advantage. But our advantage is this: we're starting in a place of righteousness and true holiness. We can exercise this, the love of God, because this is who we are. Who and what we have been created. Many are trying to walk in love, but the new birth, we need to get this. Somebody says, well, they walk in love, and I see them as a believer, and they're not walking in so much love. I believe they're born again, but I can see that they're not walking in. That is all a matter of growth and choice, because there are no birth defects in the born again experience. In other words, the DNA that created you from the get-go is perfect. It's absolute. It has no birth defects. Every single one of us in here, and you watching over there watching, every single one of us are starting from a place of advantage, and our Heavenly Father loves you so much, and what he wants more than anything else is to meet you in the morning, or meet you wherever your place of getting to know him at is. 1 Peter, let's go there, turn there with me. We're born again from a perfect place. I'm just trying to describe that perfect place and that perfect seed in which you've been born again with to start with before we move into other places. Hallelujah. Is that all right? Hallelujah. Man, Homer did an excellent job last Sunday. We listened to it as soon as we got home that evening. It was really, really good. Oh, and he gives all the glory to God. Hallelujah. 1 Peter 1, 18 through 23 says this: for as much as ye know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from vain conversations received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish, as of a lamb without blemish, without spot. For verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifested in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Hallelujah. Amen. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Well, can we? Absolutely. Because of who we are, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Hallelujah. Incorruptible seed. Spiritual seed. That word seed there is the word spora, and it's the same word that we use for the creation of human beings. But this is talking about God's spiritual spora, his seed inside of us as believers. It's incorruptible. The DNA of it is perfect. If you were to put that DNA under a spiritual microscope, in which there is no such thing, but if you looked at it, you would see that it is, you're looking at all those chromosomes, and you would see that it's righteousness, true holiness. Hallelujah. It's just like, and if your DNA's there and you slipped one, a slide next to it of God, it would be just the same. The only thing is, his chromosome, his spiritual chromosomes are, he's divinity. He's God. You don't have that. But you have his righteousness and his true holiness. The seed of God is perfect. But in the same way as it is perfect inside of us, as a healthy baby is born and we receive that child and we say, thank God it has 10 fingers, 10 toes, and I pray to God that happens for all of us. But at the same time, we look at that child, we say, this is perfect. What has been placed inside of us is perfect, absolute, but it has to grow. Righteousness and true holiness is the aspect of God that has been given to you as a gift. You're not going to, after your next fast or after your multiple hours of praying, you're not going to get more righteous. You are what you are in righteousness and true holiness. That spirit, that spora, that new, that is, that life that came into you is from God. It's directly from God. So it won't improve in the sense of holiness. Now, holiness is this. Your holiness as in the life that you live in the flesh, that's your holiness to give back to him. The gift he gave to you was righteousness and his holiness. Now you take that holiness and say, okay, I'm going to live the life that I live in the flesh. I'm going to give that back to you as an offering. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I'm going to offer up my body a living sacrifice, and that's my holiness back to you. Right. Hallelujah. Remember this. The word says that we're going to be judged in the end for the deeds done in the body. I won't take a side journey there, but don't get corrupted by greasy grace doctrine that says your spirit's one thing and it doesn't matter what your body does. Your body will destroy your relationship with God, but your body can be sanctified and brought into righteousness and true holiness, the essence of who you are in Christ. Hallelujah. The essence of that seed is, we see a description of it again, scriptures that we're familiar with, Ephesians 4, 22 through 24. Hallelujah. I hope you've got your Bibles, or maybe you've got it memorized and you don't need to turn there. I always appreciate hearing Homer, the word that flows out of him. He says he don't even try to memorize. You don't if you listen to it enough or read enough. That you put off the concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be ye renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which after God is created in what? Righteousness and true holiness. Our creation of the new man is righteous and true holiness. It's the gift of God. Hallelujah. That's not the person that you sin out of. It'll eventually can affect your walk if you continue to identify with the flesh, but there's no appetites in that person. The appetites of that person is righteousness and true holiness. Hallelujah. All it wants to do tomorrow morning is get up and know its father a little bit deeper. Hallelujah. Another part of the description of this person that I'm describing, that who we are, and yet here is more of leading towards our exercising the part of us that can be exercised. You've got one part that how can I explain this? It's innate. It's fastened. It's fast, as in the sense of the word, it is what it is. But from that, there is a growing exercising process by which you and I can change. And that's the part that we get involved with. God can't be any different in us than he already is, but there's a part of us that can continue to gravitate and change towards him. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 3 going forward. Paul said this. He said, I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with a pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. He's talking to Timothy, his spiritual son. And he's encouraging Timothy because Timothy is pastoring the church at Ephesus, and there's a lot going on, persecution. Eventually, Timothy, as we read that script a few weeks ago, Timothy actually was martyred at Ephesus. But Paul, this is 2 Timothy, and Paul is writing his last letter to his spiritual son. And he continues on. He says, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned love, verse 5, that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that is in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, he's saying to his son, his spiritual son, that you stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of hands, my hands. For God has not given us the spirit, or he says, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of what? Power and love and a sound mind. He's actually talking about, you've heard people say, well, they've got a spirit of this or they've got a spirit of that. We're usually talking about their disposition. This isn't talking about a disposition. This is who you are. This is your born again. This is who you've been created to be. Spirit, what? God, it's just like when he said over in Ephesians, you've been created in righteousness and true holiness. This is a description of the born again spirit. Your born again spirit was created in this. God gave you, it's not a spirit of fear, but it is a spirit of, or the Greek says timidity, cowering in a sense of that word. So we know this, the dichotomy or the cutoff of what we have to understand this. When you are under trepidation or a sense of fear or you're feeling it, that's not coming out of your new nature. That's not coming out of that new place. That spirit that's on the inside of you, God has created it so that no matter what comes from the world, Paul is actually coaching up Timothy because he knows that he's going to die and Timothy may one day be required to give his life. So he's telling him what you've been created in or with from the get-go is a spirit that is not, it has no fear in it. It's not been given to you by which God created it in fear, but is of power. It's the word dunamis. Well, we usually equivocate or think about, you know, that Jesus said, you'll receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. This is not talking about the Spirit, the Holy Ghost, but it's using the word dunamis. What's he saying here? When Jesus talked about you'll receive power, you'll cast out devils, you'll lay hands on the sick, you'll speak with new tongues, the work of the Holy Spirit. But this power here is from the very beginning, a power that sets you free from sin. It sets you free from the appetites and the emotions of sin. That's why we know this. Even if you never get filled with the Holy Ghost, you have the power to live above sin. Hallelujah. You have the power to walk free from sin and say no to it, and it cannot dominate you. Because there's something that's been placed inside of you. It's a spirit of power. And it's a spirit that is to dominate the appetites. That's why, Gary says a new sheriff came in town. Homer gives the same. I mean, from the very, I know some people will talk about, well, it took me a long time. If it takes you a long time to get over certain vices, it's really because you choose to. Because that which was created on the inside of you, we often say He left your outward man to some degree out of it, but it wasn't completely left out of it, because your spirit man spilled over into your outward man, and all those appetites left. A new sheriff came into town. Hallelujah. So we've received this spirit of power. Love, agape love, it just wants to get to know God, and it wants to love one another. And sound mind, the word in the Greek is disciplined, or a mind of self-control. So this, it's talking about this spirit. So this is not your gray matter brain mind per se, but it will, the person that you are, if you'll allow it, it will ooze, or it will take over. It will dictate to the natural brain. One day you're going to die. You have a gray matter brain that contains a soul. You know, mind, will, and emotions. There's probably a better way to... it calculates. It can think. It has all the emotions with it. But there is, and I don't want to get too far into this, but your spiritual person, your inner man, it has a mind. It has a spiritual mind. And when you die, that spiritual mind's going with your spirit, and it's going to contain all the memories, except when you get to heaven, I don't know how he's going to do it, but we're not going to walk around with any regrets. Hallelujah. Maybe we just don't even remember any of this, anything in this life that we didn't, you know, that we slipped up on or didn't do right. But the spirit man here that's been given a disciplined soul, if we dwell in that place and we meditate on the things of God and we spend time with God, who we are in that man will take over. Hallelujah. It'll take over the natural soul. It'll take over the outward soul. It'll take over that man that we're present tense having problems with at times. Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 and following. Hallelujah. I hope you're doing really good back there through the Harry's cell phone. Praise God. We'll pray tonight. Hallelujah. Come and pray. We're not going to stop. Just because we get a lightning strike, we're not going to stop. Hallelujah. Go over there around that pine tree today, lift your hands, and just worship God and say, hallelujah, Jesus. We will not be stopped. Hallelujah. Don't worship the tree. Not into totem poles, okay? Verse 16 says, this I say, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, and this is really talking about that inward man, we don't have time to break all that down. Romans 8, you know, we've taught on that. We probably should go back and teach on that more specifically for our newcomers. But there's a small S and a big S. One is the Spirit that you've been born again with, the new nature, and then the Holy Spirit that fills that new nature. But here he's talking about, but if you be led, or if you walk in the dictates of the new nature, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which, and such like. So he doesn't even give you this is not exhaust. He said anything like this. All these things. He says this. He says, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in times past, that they that do, which do, such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. The word do there basically is also habitually. They continue to do these things. These can, but he goes on in verse 22. Here's the part that we, you know, we've got this innate righteousness and true holiness spirit that has been given to us from the get-go, from the beginning. But as well as we have been given that spirit that is not, it's not a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of sound mind. It also has, now this is the parts of that spirit that has the power to develop. It has the potential to continue to grow. It's not set. It can grow past where it was initially created in these areas, because fruit grows on a tree. And it must grow on a mature tree. So the more you spend time worshiping or in the Word of God, Paul says this, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. Somebody said, well, didn't we get love? Yes, we did. That Spirit was created in love. But have you ever noticed, I hope your mind doesn't go to too many places. Have you ever noticed not all Christians walk in the same level of love? Well, I thought we were created in, you were, but it's a part of you that can also be developed. That fruit can continue to grow. It can continue to mature. The more you exercise in the Spirit. How do I exercise in the Spirit? Well, have you ever heard of prayer, fasting, meditation, and confession of God's word, and worship? Hallelujah. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long suffering. How many would like to know the Greek word for long suffering? What it means? You got it. Thank you. We got a professor back here. Glad the professor. Long suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. Hallelujah. We're developing our faith. We're practicing presence on a daily basis. We're practicing listening to the Word of God and letting the Word of God become the reality to our natural man as well as our spiritual man. And it's developing a faith inside of us and for us for this outpouring. Meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are of Christ have what? Crucified. This is the part. Crucified the flesh with the affections. And part of my verse is out there. But verse, let's go to 1 Timothy verses 7 and 8. How many are glad you came to church this morning? Yes, hallelujah. Man, it was worth coming to church just to hear Jimmy sing. Amen. And to hear Sarah's exhortation. Hallelujah. Paul says to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. He says, but refuse profane and wives' fables. But exercise, everybody say exercise. Exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. But godliness is profitable to all things. Hallelujah. Exercise thyself. The word exercise here is the word, you've heard me say this before, it's the word gymnazo. It's G1128 in the Strong's, if you want to look it up. I'm not a Greek scholar or study the Greek that much. I will read it as it's given. But the word gymnazo is the same word we get our word gymnasium. And it means to exercise. But it means more than that. It means, and I'm just going to read it out of the Greek. I'm not going to add to it. It means to practice naked in the games. That is to train or exercise. Now, Paul wrote this. I didn't. Okay? And he used this specific word to Timothy because he knew that Timothy knew what the Ephesians games were about. And he knew that there was a place called the palaestra where these athletes would come and that they would exercise themselves and they would fight and they would grapple and they would do a lot of different things. Now, obviously, Paul is not being, weird here, because this is coming from the Holy Spirit. But that's what was happening there. And in Timothy's mind, as far as, and what he was trying to get across, the word gymnazo out of Thayers is to exercise naked in a palaestra or school, or exercise vigorously in any way, either the body or the mind. What Paul was telling Timothy was to exercise himself in godliness. He was saying, strip away every layer of the flesh so that nothing was a hindrance to his walk with God. And this is what he was saying, that they then was like, sounds a little weird, but they didn't want any clothing to restrict their ability to run or have any movement. And in that sense of the word, they would strip off. Paul was saying to Timothy, for you to go where I need you to go or where God needs you to go in going forward in Christ, there can't be any impediment in your life. There can't be anything that inhibits your stretching towards the mark for the prize of the high calling, which is in Christ Jesus. So everything in your life, everything has to be a continual ongoing place where you're continually stripping off. When they came to the, and I'm not going to go too figuratively here, but when they would come, they would, if they would, went in there, they saw their name on the docket and they were to exercise or fight that day, they would go someplace and begin to strip off. Paul was saying to Timothy in the same way, you're going to have to strip off every layer of the flesh. Everything that you have been created in God, take that now and begin to strip off every layer of the flesh to go to the next level. Hallelujah. And this is, we were there in Wednesday night on the sins and the weights and the sins. He mentions weights and sins of the flesh in the book of Hebrews. And this is where we're at in this church, I believe, as a mass majority, that we're not in a place where we're grappling with sin as much as just grappling with the things that would weight us down. So anything that begins to contend with excuses of why we can't spend more time in Him or in the Word of God. Hallelujah. Some start with big overcoats. Take that off. But where we're at, we're stripping off. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12 says this. You can turn there and listen. He says, for when for the time you ought to be teachers, where is this word ever used again? Actually, it's listed four times in the New Testament, three of which I believe has to do with, particularly with exercise. But this word here, gymnazo, that I just mentioned, to exercise, I'll say it this way for those of you that your conscience is very delicate, to exercise without clothes. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, he says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, you have need that one teach you again that which is first, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not strong meat. He was saying to those recipients of this epistle, he said, you ought to be teachers. In other words, you should have come to the place of development but you have regressed and went backwards by not doing. If you don't do what you know, then you will regress. If you don't practice what you know, if you don't put into practice, you'll begin to regress. He says this, that you ought to be teachers at this time. You have need that one teach you again. He had already taught them once, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk. It's like they regressed back to a place of having to hear what they'd heard before concerning the truth of the gospel and concerning the development of how to go further in Christ in that truth. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But he says this, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age. That is a place of development. That is a place of growth. That is a place of maturity. Even those who by reason of use, in other words, a continual use, continual place of stripping off or exercising, because that's kind of our motto this morning, exercising in the spirit, doing those things that on a continual basis calls me to take that which I've been given innate inside of me, and the development I can grow, these fruit I can grow, my life in Christ I can grow, my love in Christ I can grow. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses gumnazoed to discern both good and evil. The more that we come into a place, okay, good and evil. Good and evil, he's talking about here that it's not like it's something that's right in front of you that's so distinguishable that it's so easy to say, oh no, that's an evil. We're not talking about the devil per se. We're talking about anything that could possibly be disguise itself as justifiable in your life. And yet if it's justifiable but takes you to a place where it's impeding your walk of intimacy, your freedom to walk in the life and the grace of God, then only that place of having exercised your senses to say, wait a minute, I'm waking up now. What I thought was last year, okay, now the Holy Spirit is saying, this is stealing from me. This is stealing from my walk. And you gymnazo, you work it out. You exercise your senses in the place where you begin to see from the Holy Spirit and from the Word of God the actual truth concerning your life going forward in Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. Let's look at there for just a moment. Or look at that place. I said look at there. Look at that place. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I hope you'll be here Friday night. We'll have a good time. We're going to pray. Seek the face of the Lord. First Corinthians 9, 24 through 27. This is Paul writing, and he says, know ye not that they which run in a race run all? But one receiveth the prize, so run that you may obtain. He's telling them, run in this race. And every man that striveth for the mastery, that is the gold, the crown, is temperate in all things. Every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. In other words, If you're going to receive a natural crown, an athlete, he or she will do everything they can. They'll watch their sleep. They'll make sure they'll watch their weight, their diet. Their training will be so important to them. And he was saying this, that's the natural things of this life. How much more should we who are training for the mastery? It's not something that's a one and done. It's not today and then we did our too often we accomplish something and then we rest on our laurels, like, okay, wow, this feels good. We're kind of, you know, I'll coast a little bit, and then bam, we're right back to square one in the sense of the word of the struggles in our life. But he's telling us, if we're going to do this, we have to be temperate in all things. In other words, self-control, just continuing. We have to, again, but not us in control, perfect illustration, release, submit that to say, Lord, I can't do it. The happiest times you'll ever come to is when you realize you can't do it. You finally get, okay, all right, am I going to exhaust myself another day in this, or am I just going to go ahead and just submit? Hallelujah. And he goes, and the Lord's like, whew, I never get tired. You about tired me out trying to help you. He says, I therefore so run, not as uncertainty. Well, Lord, we don't. Our certainty is here in your word. Thank you, Lord. So fight I, not as one that beateth the air. He's talking about a boxer that's shadow boxing or not punch. He's not like that. He's not just hitting the air. His efforts are making a mark. They're striking. They're bringing. Paul says this, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should become a castaway. It's the word reprobate. It's one of the scariest verses, I think, in the New Testament, in that sense of the word, that if Paul was saying, it never happens instantly. It never happens just over a short period of time. But Paul said, if I don't keep under my body, this possibility still exists for me just like anybody else. So hallelujah. What do? We exercise. We gymnazo ourselves. We don't earn our salvation. It was given to us, but as a result of it, we stay in it. We continue to gymnazo, stay in a place of exercising ourselves spiritually on a continual basis. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's just stand and just worship the Lord. What does that mean? Prayer, fasting, giving ourselves over to the Word of God on a continual basis. Jesus, you are worthy. Let's just stand here and just worship him, just for the Word of God, just for the truth of God's Word and the power of his Holy Spirit. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. If you need prayer this morning of any sort, we're here. You step out while we worship in this song. Hallelujah. Because of who
you are, I give glory.
Yes, Jesus.
Because of who you are,
I give you praise.
Yes, Jesus.
Yes, I do.
Because of who you are, I will lift my voice and say, Lord, I worship you because of who you are. Lord, I worship you because of who you are.
Yes, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Because of who you are,
I give. Let me minister. Hallelujah.
My provider, Jehovah Nissi, Lord, you reign in victory, Jehovah Shalom, you're my Prince of Peace.
Hear people sing.
minister to these people down here today. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Hear your people sing.
Yes, Jesus.
Holy is the Lord, worship to the King of kings. Holy.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
You will always be.
Hallelujah, God. We praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. We love you, Father. We love you, Father. All right. You are blessed. We love you so much. He loves you so much. And have a wonderful day. And those of you that make the effort, come and pray with us tonight. And I guess we'll be streaming with your camera once again, or we could. Because people join us in the prayer room. Hallelujah. All right. Those of you that have joined us online through a telephone, thank you so much. Amen.